This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today we celebrate one day early, very solemn event in history, and that is the martyrdom of the Order of the Templars. Martyrdom of so many. Many were tortured to death, others were sentenced to death. And yet others spent their time in torture and in prison, were eventually released. Some were never captured. It is impossible, perhaps, for us to understand what a momentous shift in the world that the arrest of the Order of the Templars meant to the medieval world, particularly of France, but the medieval mind in general. This was an order, the first order, of knights who became monks, who swore the traditional oaths, poverty, chastity and obedience, followed a monastic rule. It was started by three knights, and they had fought in the Crusades, they were in Jerusalem, they had seen much. They were knights, they weren't just common soldiers seeking to become monks and somehow improve their lot. Medieval monasticism is often a pretty good deal. Now, these were men who could claim property, titles, who, having been through war, sought to put that to a higher purpose, to put their skill at arms, to put their swords, to something greater. This, too, is perhaps impossible for us to understand. The only thing we have similar would be, perhaps, money. Somebody giving up their $12 million lottery ticket to become a monk or become a friar and do good works give us a pretty good approximation. The social hierarchy of the medieval world, to be a knight, to be a gentry, to be a fighting soldier, was very good. Yet these individuals sought something more. I believe two of them were relations of Bernard of Clairvaux, who later became Saint Bernard. Not the dog, though. Well, we don't know about that. But. And Bernard was the most well-known mystic of his age. He was second to the Pope, if that far down. And his recognition of what these three knights wanted to do, and his recommendation to the Pope that they be recognized, basically assured that they would be. He wrote their first rule for them, based upon the rule that he wrote in renewing monasticism, the Cistercian monasteries. And the order began, three knights, setting out to guard pilgrims on their way to the Holy Land, two of them sharing a horse, and this is the famous crest, still found at places. Two knights riding one horse. It is the official crest of the Knights Templar. Over the years, these things grow and develop. This idea of a new knighthood, of a knighthood that wasn't merely the chivalrous knighthood that developed later on, but a knighthood that was a spiritual knighthood, caught fire. Other orders grew. And an order that was older, the Hospitallers, changed to include a military arm. These became really the armies of Europe. Without the disciplined armies, the Templars, much of the Crusades thereafter might not have happened quite that way. They were always at the front. They did not retreat. They carried their black and white banner, the Beauséant, into battle, and they would not retreat from it. There are stories of Muslims tricking the Templars by having them charge into the city gates and then closing the gates behind them and slaughtering them, and the Templars did that because they didn't retreat. Well, what can we learn from this? We are not knights in armor with swords. Thank God. What a life that would be. But we are called upon to be strong, to bear our sword, to wear our armor, to hold our shields. For what we can learn from the Knights Templar is their discipline and their dedication, their willingness to serve, their willingness to go forth, do what needed to be done, in service of others, in service of God. Some point along the way, they picked up some sort of mysteries, sacraments, practices, teachings. We don't know exactly what. Speculation, there was some contact with the Mandaeans. Others have speculated a more esoteric Sufi Islamic branch. But even without these, simply being in order, devoted, Gnostic views, mystical views, spiritual practices are bound to grow. In a group that faces death regularly, one can imagine how pressing their spiritual concerns were. They did not have 30 years to pray in a monastery. They might be dead tomorrow. Of course, as things grow large, powerful, influential, they attract all kinds, including your scoundrels and your baser villains and so forth. No doubt these were part of the order. But its core was always this noble core of service. When a brother went to take his vows, he was reminded that although he may have heard that the Knights Templar were well off, they themselves were servants. And that if he wanted to be stationed in the Holy Land, he'd be stationed in France, vice versa. When he wanted to stay, he'd be ordered to move. When he wanted to sleep, he'd be ordered to guard. That his life would no longer be his own. And this oath, every single one of the brothers took. We must also remember that as in all of medieval society, the Templars did not consist largely of knights. The Templar Order never created a knight. It didn't occur to them. They accepted the people who were knights and made them monks. So the majority of the Templars were sergeants. They were commoners, soldiers, workers, people who lived out their lives. A much harsher life than any monastic could hope to see. When the order came, the arrest of the Templars, many couldn't believe it. And there is delay in England. Apparently it wasn't ever really enforced in Scotland. In Spain and Portugal, they were apparently allowed to rechristen themselves into a different name and go unquestioned. But many were questioned and tortured. There is a report of one knight coming into court holding bones in his hand. They were the bones of his feet that had been charred off. There are many gruesome tales. Some today look at the confessions and say, well, there are some that confessed without being tortured. And this is true. Doesn't mean their confessions were true, because they confessed under the threat of torture. Just a matter of how far do you want to go before you confess. The ancient methods were generally to show people the methods of torture and then start torturing them and keep going until you got a confession, because the wrong answer was, of course, the wrong answer. You just kept going. If they died under torture, then maybe they were innocent, or maybe you just hadn't done it right. The few that did confess were sentenced to different forms of penance. One that did confess was Jacques de Molay, the Grand Master. At one point, he confessed, made a confession, but then he recanted it publicly. And that led to him being burnt slowly, not the usual quick burn that heretics got. And it is said that from the stake he cursed, the King of France and the Pope would cause this to happen, that within a year they had both died. No matter how powerful you may grow in the world, power in the world is uncertain. The Knights Templar were as powerful as you could get in the medieval world. They were still crushed, still arrested and tortured, still treated as guilty simply by being accused. Though things of the world will fall, even though we stand with our shields and swords before the mighty onslaught that is always coming upon us, the line will break. We will fall eventually. That is the nature of the world. It is our nature to stand. It is our nature to take a stand, to hold our place, to defend that which must be defended, to attack that which we have no choice but to attack. This is not imperial, crusading Christianity attempting to convert the world by a sword. This is the human soul taken seriously in the world. It isn't about beliefs. It is about standing up for the light in the world. For the darkness will come. But as long as we can guard the light, we must. For that is our nature. That is what we are called to do. We are Gnostics. We know that the light is there. So, we have no choice but to guard it, grow it. And our lives, at some point, will be lost. But it isn't our lives so much we worry about. It is not our souls in some abstract sense. It is our souls as we experience them, as we have them, as we are them. For if we live through our souls in the world, we grow that seed of light within us. We guard it until it grows. The Gospel says, "Lo, I've set fire to the world, and guard it until the world is afire." In the mystery of that which hangs to extend from upon us. For more information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.